maybe, and Sue will sort that in a minute. All right. Well, let's pray. It's a good place to start. Father, I want to pray today for your people, that our hearts would be open and ready to receive. Father, that we could even start to imagine, Lord God, what we're going to hear today, to be open and to go with your word and to trust that your word is true, even when we don't understand it all. So I commit this word to you now, in Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at Revelation chapter 4, and this chapter records a little glimpse into the throne room of heaven, where God is sitting on the throne and orchestrating all the events that John will record in Scripture for us. So if you've missed any of the previous chapters, it is on the website and you can listen to them again so that you keep up to date. But John wants to show us these glimpses, and obviously Jesus is showing John and he's recording them so that we get a glimpse of future events, but not to be frightened by them, okay? It's so that we won't be frightened by them when we finally get to see them. So this is not about... Revelation can be quite terrifying if you don't understand it, but that's why we're going to go through it, so that we get an understanding and we're going to get a glimpse today. And it's a really special chapter. So let's start with Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold... Hello? Too many microphones. All right. Sorry about that. Let's start there. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. At the first voice which I heard, this is John, was like a trumpet, and he's describing, he often says it was like. He said, I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Behold, this means we need to pay attention. We sang about it today. Behold our God. We need to pay attention because he wants us to see what he's opened the door for us to have a glimpse with today. An open door. He's inviting us to come up here, and he will show us things. You see, it might not just be a billion miles away like we think. It could be as close as from one breath to the next. The voice that John heard that sounded like a trumpet blast was the voice of Christ, and this is also recorded in chapter 1. We go on to verse 2, and it says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, there's that word again, pay attention, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. We know that John was in the Spirit, and this expression means that the Holy Spirit was giving him a vision, showing him situations and events that he could not have seen with merely human eyesight. Have you ever had an invitation to an important room? I was thinking about that, thinking about all the places that I've been and the atmospheres that I've been in, and the biggest atmosphere room that I've been in would be the footy, not quite the throne room of heaven, but an amazing atmosphere at a grand final or at the State of Origin when New South Wales wins the game, and the atmosphere is amazing. And that's just here on earth, But of course, that's nothing compared to heaven. Because Jesus is saying, come up here. So I'm saying to you, will you come up here with me for the next 20 minutes? He says, come up here and I will show you. And what we see is that there is one seated on it, on the throne. Well, who is that on the throne? Well, it was God. It's God. And that open door is an invitation for us to see in. It's the epicenter of existence. Now back to earth for a moment. Remember, in the last time I spoke, John had been, when he was walking the earth, John was under a Roman Empire emperor, Domitian. He was evil. He was God, he thought, and he projected himself to be a god, and he wanted his throne to be the mightiest on the planet earth. So he wanted people to worship him. So this is all a backdrop here for John, because he's now in the spirit, but he's on the island of Patmos in a rock quarry for his faith in Jesus. He'd been extradited there because he was persecuted. But now he's seeing this heavenly throne. And yes, there was an earthly reality, but now he's seeing this heavenly throne. Because there is only one throne. Any other throne is not of God. And the Lord God Almighty is the one seated on the throne. He's not pacing around. He's not stressed. He's seated. He is securely seated on that throne. And to me, that means that God is confident in his place. He's not stressing over what's happening down here. He already knows. He is assured of who he is. He is unfazed by the counterfeit and the chaos that's going on, and he is undisturbed and seated on his throne. And I think he is inviting us into this moment because he wants us to live our lives knowing that there is something secure. Something is assured for us. Something that we can be confident of. And it's the one, of course, who is seated on the throne, Almighty God. And what does John say about him? He begins to describe him, and remember we've said this many times, John is reaching for the right words to describe this vision of what he's fully seeing in glory. Verse 3, and it says, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. A lot of the other versions say there was a stone like jasper and carnelian. So I looked up carnelian. So John was describing the throne that he appeared like. Okay, now these two stones are important because they are representing to us what God looks like on the throne. John kept saying it was just like jasper and carnelian. And if you look them up, you will find that jasper's a red stone, but sometimes it can be yellow or streaky. Sometimes it can have a tan colour mixed in, and it can also be green. And then I looked in Revelation chapter 21, going right to the end, and it says this, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal, clear as crystal. And so as we go back, John is describing what we now know is clear as crystal. But also, like this other stone that he mentions, carnelian is a red stone. And so we see the brilliance and the purity and the radiance of God and all of his majesty. And we see the red in this story of his redeeming grace. And Almighty God is the one that we're going to see in the very next chapter. Redeeming grace of God. And we're going to see in the next chapter that Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain, is now in this story and being worshipped. So his appearance was brilliant and beautiful and radiant and awe-inspiring. And more, it's more than John can describe. And it's really more than we can even understand with our human minds. So take the most precious gemstone, refine it to the most elegant level, shine it into the clearest and brightest light, and that's what he sees, and the one he sees sitting on the throne. And then there was the rainbow, which we know was a sign of the covenant with Noah, and that's signifying his promise of redemption. We go on to verse 4, and it says, around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their head. So who are these 24 elders? Well, there is debate about it, and I know that there are differences of opinions, but most people say that it represents 12 and 12, the old and the new. It's like the 12 tribes of Israel coming from the Old Testament and the 12 apostles coming from the New Testament. Now, all the tribes of Israel, they all had a stone, and Aaron was the first high priest, and he had a breastplate with four rows of three stones, and each one of them had the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel engraved on it. And interestingly, the first stone is jasper, and the last stone was carnelian. So even in his appearance of jasper and carnelian, John was seeing the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I think that's a plausible explanation, but honestly, at the end of the day, we can't say with 100% certainty. And maybe we don't need to wrestle too much with the 24 thrones and who's on them, but what we do know is that they're elders. They are overcomers of some kind, and they're dressed in white, and they show us that all the redeemed of the Lord are worshipping him. And verse 5, and from the throne proceeding lightnings, thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So the one sitting on the throne is brilliant, but he is also powerful, and he is dispensing lightning from the throne. And he's showing us in this picture, as we peek into heaven, that final judgment will come from this throne. All of authority and might will come from this throne, and we're going to see that it's the greatest place on earth that we are to put all of our hope, all of our trust, all of our lives and our future in this place. And we will be with the one who is seated there. But make no mistake, God in the very best way seems terrifying. Not terrible, but terrifying. And that has to wake us up from our slumber and cause us to be on the edge of our seat. And it will make us bow down in reverence and awe, and to stand with no words, just to adore the beauty and the majesty and the might and the power and the righteousness that is God. And the second thing that we see when we look into the throne room is when we behold the open door before us, we see in the throne room the mystery of a God who is three in one. It's hard to explain that to people that don't understand God three in one. But when we talk about God in three persons, it can be complicated. This is a mystery of God, but we see it beautifully in the next text. And we look up and we see Jesus, and he's inviting John in. So there's Jesus himself, the Son of God. And he's inviting John to come up here and see what must take place. And then as we go to the next scripture, we read, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. But we also see that the throne, not only is there lightning and rumblings, but before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Seven being the number of completion. This is the Holy Spirit in his completeness. In his completeness. Of the Spirit of God before the throne. And the seven burning lamps are the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is inviting us in. God the Father is seated on the throne, and then the Holy Spirit is blazing around the throne. This is the three-in-one God all at work here, all equal, neither vying for each other's position or being any different from who they are, just being who they are. That's for us. Just be who you are. The other thing we see is that God dwells in perpetual praise. And we see that these 24 elders dressed in white, and they had crowns of gold on their head. And then we see the thunder and lightning, and before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And there were some other creatures there, and we read that in verse 6. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And this represents the holiness and the magnificence of God. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around within, and they did not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And they might sound freaky, but we know that they're of God because they're singing and they're worshipping Him. And they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Their whole existence was to worship God. And the elders, they never stopped falling and they never stopped casting. And as we go on in 9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honour and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Just as the Holy Spirit is seen symbolically in the seven lighted lamps, so the four living beings represent the attributes and the qualities and character of God. These creatures were not real. They're not real animals. They're like the cherubim, the highest order of angels, and they guard God's throne. And they lead others in worship, and they can proclaim God's holiness. The prophet Ezekiel saw four similar creatures also back in Ezekiel. But we gather together today because we recognize that we're standing in a grace-filled story, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are a new creation in Christ when we give our life to Him, and we are woven into a heavenly story. And we have access to the very throne room of God. Do you know that? You have access. You have access to God who is seated on that throne. And we are in that story, and we're on a journey to overcome and to enter into the very worship that is happening right now when they sing, "Holy, holy, holy." You see, worship takes our minds off our problems and focuses them on God. Worship leads us from an individual meditation to corporate worship. Worship causes us to consider and appreciate God's character. Worship lifts our perspective from earth to heaven. And worship isn't about our circumstances. It's about who God is. And worship is giving back to God what He's already given to us. And whatever we have breath in our lungs, because God gave us that breath, we should praise. He gave us the breath of life, and we should thank and honour Him for that. For the elders, it wasn't just about their breath in praising God, but they were throwing their crowns down. They were overcomers. And this is about endurance. Hey, they made it because they received their crown of life, which we will also one day. This was their testimony, if you will. But they were realizing that they made it because of the grace of God and because of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which we have too. and because of the promises of God's word. They made it because he fulfilled his purpose in their lives. They made it because he protected them. He led them. He guided them. He filled them and he used them. He moved in, and through him they made it. So with grateful hearts, they are falling down and saying, worthy. Because with every testimony they have, they wanted to praise him. With everything they accomplished, they wanted to praise him. They were just giving back to God what he had first given to them. We should be a worshiping church because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I'm believing that as we get that revelation that we have everything, including our breath, that has been freely given to us by a gracious, awe-inspiring God and by him who sits on the throne, we should be so thankful, and we should be a worshiping people and a worshiping church that cries out, holy, holy, holy are you, God, and worthy are you. And the last thing I want us to see is that the reality of the throne room should be an anchor when we're in a storm. This glimpse is not just a future glimpse. Yes, it's where we're going to be, and it's what's happening in heaven. That's in the future. That's what Jesus said. But this glimpse should give us confidence that we can anchor ourselves in him as we navigate through the waves and the storms of our families and our children. We need something that we can be sure of. No matter how intense the storm gets, we need that anchor that will hold us. And John was hanging on to his faith. He was alone in a rock quarry in the island of Patmos and had so much persecution, but he's still holding on. And now he has this vision that would have sealed it for him. And I will finish on this. It's interesting where it says in the word that they never stop saying day and night, these four living creatures, they never stop saying, okay, the word saying is originally had its meaning was to lay down to sleep. But that meaning of it migrated in time to lay the argument to rest. And sometimes, you know, as you argue back and forth and someone would have the final word and it was like, okay, we're putting that to rest. We're laying that down, final word. So it started with the meaning of lay down to sleep, but it ended up being a more legal meaning of settled, done, dusted, finished. Nothing else will be entered into. Well, that's what's behind them constantly saying, holy, holy, holy. They're saying it's done. It's settled. This argument is over. Case closed. No more discussion. But it started with the meaning of lay down to sleep. And that's one of the great benefits of being able to see the through to the open door of the throne room of God. We can drop our anchor right in that. Have confidence in that because it's done and it's settled. And I can lay down to sleep at night, and so can you, because it's settled once and for all. Because he who is on the throne, he who is running the universe, and he who is in charge of history, he who's making plans to his conclusion, to him who's calling the shots and who is in control of everything, he is seated on the throne, confident. So you can rest and find peace, and you can find comfort in knowing that you've seen a glimpse of the throne room. We didn't get the vision. We weren't the ones taken up trying to describe what John saw. And we weren't given that assignment. But John is telling us this today so that we can hear what is happening on the throne room of Almighty God. Think of that. You will spend every one of your days on this earth knowing what has been sung around God's throne. And if that doesn't give us a place to drop our anchor and in the storm, then we've totally missed the power of that glimpse that we've had today. And we sit today not based on circumstances, but based on the cross and the empty tomb. To the risen Christ, we say, worthy are you, Lord God, to receive glory and honour and praise. The point of this chapter is summed up in this verse: all creatures in heaven and earth will praise and honour God because He is the creator and the sustainer of everything. And as I said before, worshipping God is not about how we feel, what's happening with us at the moment and our circumstances. We worship Him because of who He is. And for me, that lifts my perspective of what I see going on from earth to heaven. And that means that our faith is in Him. And so I leave that with you today, and I pray that you would get a revelation and understand that glimpse, and you can rest and have peace because it's done. It's done. Amen. So we're going to sing that song that we sang before, Be Calm and Behold Him. And we